Beyond Governance, making sense of doing business in South Africa, is proudly sponsored by Plus 94 Research, the science of decision making.
Did you know that where markets are concerned, it's not easy to detect the difference between objective and subjective reality, or between reality and fantasy? The business's view of the consumer has serious bottom line implications. At Plus 94 Research, we help businesses cut through the uncertainty by gathering and processing real consumer intelligence through advanced scientific research methodologies. Plus 94 Research, the science of decision making.
A very good morning to you and welcome to this week's installment of Beyond Governance Show here at 101.9 High FM. I'm truly pleased to share this space and time with you as we continue to make sense of what is happening in our environment. As you know, the seventh administration is literally upon us. We prepare to cast our votes literally in less than 7 days, I'm sure you can agree with me that these elections were the most contested elections since 1994. As a concerned citizen, I urge everyone to cast their votes and promote democratic agenda. You know how I wish South Africa could find mechanism to enforce or make voting compulsory, as in countries such as Australia. We often settle for less. You know, we settle for mediocre because most people, especially youth, stay away from the polls. As problematic as the country is, we really have to push. I also wish that South Africans can be more patriotic. As George Bernard Shaw once said, patriotism is that your conviction that your country, in South Africa in this particular case, is superior to all other countries because you were born it. That's so powerful. Having said that, imagine having a superior mentality. In my view, superior mentality and attitude translates to everything that we do as a people, in our schools, in our universities, in businesses. The level of competitiveness that can come through, let alone productivity, is likely to be exceptionally high, purely because, you know, we believe our country is superior than any other country, which we have to invest deeply. And most importantly, it's about attitude and mentality. Nothing surpasses that as far as I'm concerned. Anyway, before we get into the gist of our conversation in the public sector reforms via the professionalization framework, which has been established by the government, now allow me to express my gratitude to the Morning Mayhem team under the stewardship of Howard Feldman for keeping you informed and intrigued. They'll be back on your radio tomorrow at the same time. As we proceed, I also want to thank folks that are behind the show, the technical team, which is Craig Guthrie, who is on controller, and of course, Harry Sileke, who is the producer of the show. These guys are phenomenal. And we're moving forward. If you missed any of our previous conversation, do not despair. Simply go to our website, which is www.highfm.com. And look for Beyond Governance Podcast. Download any, share them with us. Our SMS line is 34519. In today's conversations, we're putting a spotlight on the capacity of the state to deliver. We all know that the government department, state-owned departments, let alone local government, suffers acute skills of competencies to manage. You've heard over and over and again through the AG, Auditor General, who has been lamenting and other state-owned entities lamenting how the state is failing to address corruption, maladministration, which has costing the country billions of rands. And in making sense of this mischief, the sixth administration, introduced the Public Service Professionalism Framework, which is seeking to change the status quo. Well, in making sense of this challenge, I'm joined by Dr. Harlan Kluter, who is the research fellow at the University of the Free State. Doc, good evening and welcome to Beyond Governance.
Good day, Doctor, as well, Dr. Nimrod. Thank you very much for having me on this platform. I'm looking forward to our conversation.
Thank you very much indeed. As we proceed, in my earlier introduction, I flagged the issue of being patriotic And I'm keen to know your view in terms of how, you know, because being patriotic literally underpins issues about governance status in the country, which the new government is going to grapple with moving forward. Your take on that, please.
I think, you know, being patriotic means being loyal, you know, is to accept the country for all its challenges and all its flaws, but saying, you know, I'm going to play my part. I'm going to not give up. I'm going to be optimistic. I'm going to make sure that everything that dysfunctions by playing my part. You know, you get people at one stage, I think one of the presidents says, you're either in government or you're in opposition. And sometimes he said the opposition act in a way that is unpatriotic. So patriotic means for me is to accept the country with all its flaws.
No, I think that's a very useful overview. The essence of what you're saying is that you have to accept the country with its all its flaws and do your contribution. And as South Africans, we often shoot ourselves in the foot, especially the media space, because I'm operating it. Sometimes when I hear how we literally pull ourselves down and focusing pretty much on the negative aspect, and who's going to advocate for us when we pull ourselves down. And it's quite intriguing when you compare us with the likes of UK and the US. There are problems, and yet the media, and it's obviously have a very balanced view of how to proceed. But anyway, that's not the gist of our conversation. I just wanted to kick start that by reflecting on the state of patriotism in the country. Dr. Kloot, we all know that South Africa is grappling with maladministration, corruption, and hence the government introduced the framework for professionalization in the public sector. Any of you, and again, that's one. The other issue is we are known in South Africa to have good legislation, and yet implementation is quite poor. And I suppose the framework, the professionalization of the public service framework, it's actually meant to strengthen the capacity of state to deliver. For we all know that over the past 10, 15 years, we're in this kind of quagmire purely because the state has not been able to deliver. Your overall sense on that particular point?
I think if we look at the National Development Plan, it talks about a capable state. And so I think there has been attempts, you know, everybody talks about CADA deployment. And I think it's in the nature of all political parties to deploy. When it's become problematic is that when you deploy incompetent people. And so my focus is mainly on local government. And what we've seen in the past couple of years in 2021, the municipal staff regulations was passed. You know, it was introduced into local government, and it is the very aim of that municipal staff regulations is to ensure that we professionalize the local government space that have been bedeviled over the last couple of years. You know, with all sorts of allegations, one being that we are employing individuals who do not have the capacity. And sometimes, you know, and I've seen that in my training. We train people and then we send them back into a toxic environment. And so some institutions are simply not capable. And the attempt of the municipal staff regulations is to ensure that municipalities become more capable. So what that legislation introduces is five chapters. One talks about, the organogram, making sure that we design a local government that is responsive to the needs. So the chapter two, I think, speaks to the design side of it. The third chapter then speaks to recruitment and selection. By putting in there the framework to ensure that the right people are recruited and that there's integrity in this entire process. It then talks about a performance management process. It calls it performance and development management. That is not punitive, but it goes through the entire organization from top to bottom. And then it talks to skills development, a chapter on skills development and how that is regulated. And then finally, it introduces the competency framework for local government. So that places the framework around that, as well as the efforts of SALGA to professionalize the sector.
These are very interesting developments indeed, which are very useful in trying to address the big gaps that we have seen over the past 15 years or so. But obviously they're very complex. We're going to take a short break and we'll be back in a second because I want us to sink our teeth a little bit more on some of the issues that you've raised. We'll be back in a second.
Beyond Governance, making sense of doing business in South Africa, is proudly sponsored by Plus 94 Research, the science of decision making.
When a nation comes together on buildrsa.co.za, it can only lead to a greater South Africa. All that's missing is you. Go to buildrsa.co.za to join the conversation, get involved in problem solving, and contribute to taking our nation to the next level. By South Africans, for South Africans. So, register for free now at buildrsa.co.za. The Great Africa. Together, we will build it.
Welcome back. This is Beyond Governance. If you've just joined us, you have not messed up a thing. I'm joined by Dr. Harlan Klute, who is the research fellow at the University of the Free State. And he's giving us his views on the professionalization of the public sector. As we all know, government introduced the framework in which it seeks to address some of the technical capacity issues which has been identified over the years. And I think it's important for us to applaud government in that particular space. For the NDP, as Dr. Klute correctly pointed out, speaks about a capable and competent state. Coming back to the issues in the context of local government, which way you operate in, you've said, you know, the municipal staff regulation, which was passed, looks about four pillars, if you like. Organogram, that is responsive, one, and two, recruitment and selection of staff, that has integrity, and performance management processing and skill development. But let's look at the organogram, frankly speaking. We all know that you can have a very good organogram, Dr. Klute, that is responsive by, you know, having all sorts of people in key positions. But when the municipality is bankrupt, how does this help? Because it wouldn't help. I'm sure there are other mechanisms that would help, that would show that the resources that are deployed in local government recognizes the financial constraints which those municipalities are experiencing. Your take on that?
It's exactly that. You know, I've seen people where we train people, we send them back to a toxic environment. So recruitment alone can recruit professors into local government if the institution is not capable. And so capability speaks to the ability to get, you know, those basic things right. Processes, systems, procedure, practices in the institution, that all adds up to this. So it's not a silo effect in my view, but making sure that the institution is capable. So addressing, recruiting the right people is one pillar of it, yes. Making sure that the capabilities are, that is the most important part. That's when we talk about a capable state. Now, the capable state is achieved through recruiting the right people, but also making sure that once the people are in our employ, that we manage them properly, that we make sure that there's a performance and development system in place that also rewards people for their good behaviors, for the lack of a better word. And so developing human resource development, which is also one area of my focus of study, is also important. And so the problems that local government face, often we have seen that, you know, there's a problem and we put training there. Treasury allocated reported that over the last decade, they spent about 40 billion in terms of capacity building of individuals in local government. And so the problem clearly is not capacity. The problem in local government is capability. And so how do you work on this? And I'll talk about the framework that I've developed a bit later that addresses both capacity and capability of local government.
Now, it's quite interesting that government has spent staggering 40 billion rands over a period of time in trying to strengthen management capacity, I would imagine. But what is emerging from our conversation is the toxic environment. And I suppose toxic environment has to do with politicization of administration. How far have we done? Because I'm sure in your part, you know, observations and experience, that is one element. How do we disentangle administration from administration in terms of its dimension? One, you've got we've got politicians in your council, you've got administrators. Because that if you don't get that formula correct, toxic environment is likely to continue. Your observation in terms of the clear separation between Political office bearers and administration?
No, definitely. You know, if you look, let's start with the definition of a municipality. Municipality is defined as like a poiki, three legs. If you want to think of a municipality, think of a poiki. One is the politicians. Now, if we talk about politicians, that we call, in this country, we are blessed with a three-tier democracy. One is representative democracy, means citizens have every 5 years the opportunity to elect people of their choice. So, as representative democracy. And we've got constitutional democracy that states that it's got the Bill of Rights, but it also speaks about having the right people or the public administration should be broadly representative. And so we want professional people in local government. And then the last one is participatory democracy, which is community. And so these three actors, the system acts talks about them as a municipality. Now, look, democracy is not a suit and tie. It's messy. And so the research shows that sometimes there's an overreach. Sometimes politicians think that they're administrators. Sometimes administrators think that they're politicians. And so there has to be that each one has to stay in their lane. If you ask a politician what's the problem, they'll say, you know what, it's this administrators. They can't do their job. If you ask the administrators what's wrong, they say, you know what, we want to do our job, but the politicians get in the way. If you ask the community what's happened, what's wrong, they'll say, no, but it's the politicians and the administrators, you know. And so that is our democratic body politic. That is our system of governance in this country. And so the research shows that politicians overreach, and that is a problem. So we have passed legislation to deal with that. You know, politicians, administrators, senior administrators are prevented from holding political office. I think that was challenged some time ago. But clearly there was a blurred lines, you know, that I am the regional secretary, but I'm the municipal manager. And so instead of the municipal manager, the mayor giving me instructions, the municipal manager, who's also regional secretary, gives the mayor instructions. And so those lines became blurred. Also, in terms of our local governance system, we have most municipalities have opted for the mayoral executive system, the MAECO system, which puts the power in the hands of an all-powerful mayor and his mayoral committee. Our research shows, you know, that the coalition governments are here to stay. But the best or the better form of government for coalitions is probably the executive committee system, where people are represented in the executive system proportionally as how they have performed in an election.
Well, these are very interesting developments that you've pointed out, because the gist of our conversation as part of professionalizing public service in the context of municipality is to deal with the overreach of the politicians. I mean, as you have correctly pointed out, politicians don't seem to know the boundaries. Administrators, some administrators are behaving like politicians and vice versa. But the issue of deployment, you know, if you have deployed competent people at an administrative level who wears political hat, surely that's part of the problem, which I would imagine political parties' concerns are beginning to realize how important it is, even if you could have a politician deployed in a administrative position, that particular individual have to stay in his own lane, you know, in order not to make the lines blurred. But that's a very difficult mountain to climb, I would imagine.
Yeah. I have spoken to, you know, in my conversations and research with politicians and administrators, those administrators that are getting it right, they get it right by I think, being firm constitutionalist, by doing things by the book. But they also said me another skill that they've mastered is to say no to the politicians. You know, politicians, what did Aristotle say? Politics is the art of the possible. So politicians will keep pushing, but they have managed to say no to politicians. Those are the ones that make it. I think those that do not make it are so beholden to the politicians, and the politicians can do with you whatever they want to. In my conversation the other day with the supply chain manager, she was summoned to a meeting with the regional secretary together with the municipal manager. And she refused for about a month and she said, okay, let me go. And she said in that meeting, she made it very, very clear that I don't do business like that. And so if we're going to get this right, this interface between politicians and community and administrators, I think the professionalization framework as advocated by the likes of Salga is going to get us there. But like you said, you know, talk is cheap. Our biggest problem, I think, in this country is implementation, as colleague Justice Malala said. And I always say, you know, if we must have a World Cup on policies in this country, we'd win without even having to practice.
You know, that's a very interesting observation, because that seems to be what characterizes us as a South African, because we're very good in articulating solid policies. When it comes to implementation, there are big gaps. Talk of gaps, let's quickly go back, pay our bills. We'll be back in just a second.
Beyond Governance, making sense of doing business in South Africa, is proudly sponsored by Plus 94 Research, the science of decision making. Did you know that where markets are concerned, it's not easy to detect the difference between objective and subjective reality, or between reality and fantasy? The business's view of the consumer has serious bottom line implications. At Plus 94 Research, we help businesses cut through the uncertainty by gathering and processing real consumer intelligence through advanced scientific research methodologies. Plus 94 Research, the science of decision making.
Welcome back. This is Beyond Governance. I'm joined by Dr. Hallam Kluter, who is a research fellow at the University of the Free State. He's giving us his insights and observations on how to ensure the implementation of the public professionalization framework, which has been put in place. He specializes mainly in local government. Before we took that break, he gave us his thoughts around the local government municipal staff regulations that was passed, and then looked at a number of key areas. And before we took that break, he made a very interesting point around different administrative systems. In his view, the mayoral executive committee system is the most progressive system in that it has a representation of different parties. So power is not vested in one individual. The other important point that he raised is the fact that administrators that have been able to stay the course are those that are bold and they say no. But he also acknowledged that those are obviously far in are very few and far in between, given the overreach of the politicians, which is something that still needs to be addressed. Hopefully, we will get it right at some point. The third point that you raise is obviously the complexity of the interface between administrators as well as the politician, which the lines from time to time gets very blurred. But moving on, one as we take this conversation forward, the biggest issue has always been performance management. And you, as you've correctly pointed out, that the municipal staff regulations that was passed, one of the pillars is that of performance management processes. And we all know that public servant in general, there's this view that performance is lacking in the way. You would have audit findings, and there would be recommendations on how the municipal manager in particular is expected to embrace or take into account recommendations from the Auditor General around performance-related issues. And yet, from time to time, we hear in media and Treasury, as well as AG reports, that performance management systems are still lacking in a big way. How do we overcome this particular challenge based on your practical experiences and engagement with municipalities on this issue?
Okay, just one correction. Thanks for that. The mayoral committee system puts the power in all powerful mayor. The ideal one is the executive committee system. So just a correction there. Okay, so let's just get back to your question on performance management. What we've seen, you know, that is a complaint that we hear a lot, is that performance management is a joke in municipalities. Is that it's always linked to pay, and it was always applicable just to the upper higher categories of employees. What the municipal staff regulation talks about, a performance and development management system, is that we should look at, we could even performance management, performance manage teams. So right down to the bottom level, we look at performance, we look at the overall performance, we look at team-based performance and assessment, and we will look at, you know, how do we explain, you know, almost a learning approach. What happened here? Why did it happen? What do we learn? And how do we build learning back into the system? So performance management under the municipal staff regulations take a very developmental perspective. It also talks about managing talent. And so the entire human resource development governance regime in municipalities is turned upside down. That is encouraging because it places professionals, human beings at the center of it all, and this philosophy that people make or break an organization. It also has a scale system of how it rates performance, as well as a feedback system. What I like about the municipal staff regulations is that in the past, you know, you could dump everything on HR. In this instance, you know, the managers play a very central role in all of this. When I did my research in the Netherlands 10 years ago, I stumbled on a concept there called the functioneringsgesprek and the beoordelingsgesprek. It says that the manager is a manager, but the manager also has HR responsibilities. He cannot just be responsible for the output. He's also responsible for the entire human person that he manages. And so it forces the manager to sit with his or her colleague. I don't like the word subordinate, that sits with his colleague, and they look at what is the functionality of that job, what is being required, and then what support is needed. I think that comes across also in the municipal staff regulations. Then they have a second conversation later in the year called the beoordelingsgesprek, appraisal, where we now look. It's a 360 feedback where I give you feedback as a manager, but you can also give me feedback in terms of how you've experienced it. Now, I think that is very progressive because, you know, in the past many managers are still very reluctant. They dump everything on HR and they say, no, you take care of training, you take care of performance management. I've got other outputs. My focus is on service delivery. That is no longer the case. You are responsible for the entire a human being. So it adds to professionalization that it is not just linked just to pay and to monetary reward, but in this case, performance management is linked to performance and improvement in the municipality.
Well, these are obviously interesting developments in that particular case. I mean, I do appreciate the 360 appraisal system because it's not about the manager. It's also about that individual who is being managed. You're sort of able to balance out the scale in terms of assessment. But we, you know, the truth of the matter is that there's power relations in this particular environment. Earlier on, we spoke about toxic environment, which in many organizations, both private and public sector organizations, because power relations, you can imagine appraising your boss. You know, it's not easy. You could give your boss certain insights, you know, where the lines will be drawn. You can't tell your boss that he's incompetent. You can't tell your boss that, you know, you can't tell your boss that, you know, he's inefficient or whatever the case may be. So even if the problem is not with you as an individual, it's with your manager who has been brought in through deployment or whatever the case may be, because he comes from a particular political system. So these, it's important for us when we look at these issues to look at what are external factors and how the external factors bears in the internal dynamics between the manager and those that have been managed. I don't know. That's my sense. And to what extent do you think, in practice, these new developments are gaining momentum?
In our case, I explained to you how, what it works in the Netherlands. In our case, it is not expected that the person gives necessarily feedback, but everybody who is a manager in local government is responsible to managing a team. And in this case, we are saying, if you look at the competency framework for senior managers, is that you have to give feedback. You have to work by making sure that you also look at the human resource development side of that. The process is being rolled out, so we are going to do a research study. We will commence with that shortly. If you ask me a year from now, I'll be able to tell you exactly what are the challenges based on empirical research when it comes to management implementation. Our problem in municipalities mostly comes down to management. You know, John Maxwell said everything rises and falls on leadership. And so our next study, which I'm very excited about, will focus really on critical management competencies and capabilities to be able to manage better. So, yeah.
Interesting. Let's take a quick break as we gravitate towards the end of the show. I want to put you a good doctor here in terms of his the municipalities that he wants to flag as the epitome of what any other municipality needs to look at. And he'll probably give us the reason why those municipalities that he works with deserve that kind of accolades. Let's take a break. We'll be back in a second.
Beyond Governance, making sense of doing business in South Africa, is proudly sponsored by Plus 94 Research, the science of decision making.
Did you know that where markets are concerned, it's not easy to detect the difference between objective and subjective reality, or between reality and fantasy? The business's view of the consumer has serious bottom line implications. At Plus 94 Research, we help businesses cut through the uncertainty by gathering and processing real consumer intelligence through advanced scientific research methodologies. Plus 94 Research, the science of decision making.
Welcome back. This is Beyond Governance. My name is Nimrod Mbede. We are pretty much drawn closer to our very interesting conversation, which I'm having with Dr. Hallam Kluter, who is a research fellow at the University of the Free State. You know, he really gave us very interesting insights as to how to shift the needle, the performance needle of the municipalities in this particular instance, because that's his focus area. And I suppose it makes a lot of sense when you look at how professionalization framework, which has been introduced, seeks to address the competency and capacity of the state to deliver. We all know that the public servant in general, when you look at either the government departments, state-owned entities, as well as municipalities, there are big gaps. Performance-related issues have been brought into question at the system, and nobody really wants to come through because of how the environment has been so toxic over a period of time. But there seems to be instances where there are positive pockets of excellence that are emerging. So it is our job to promote and really pull those kinds of pockets of excellence that are emerging so that we focus on what happens. Our glass should always be half full. We can't come, you know, to these kinds of platforms and by, you know, hitting, like we say, you can't kill the dead snake. So we have to be very positive in our orientation. We have to be positive and inspiring, particularly inspiring and motivating, you know, managers that are doing the utmost best for our own, a lot of people are really doing their utmost best to try and deliver. It is just that, you know, the challenges are often, you know, too strenuous for them. But be that as it may, these are kinds of conversation that you always have to have. Before we took that break, Dr. Kloot, I said to you, you have worked with several municipalities that seems to gain momentum in as far as the, you know, the turnarounds programs that are put in place. Which municipalities do you think have been able to turn around that service delivery based on based on what you've really indicated earlier, particularly in the context of the municipal staff regulations that you spoke about earlier?
You know, I think that I wouldn't necessarily want to single out particular municipalities, because, you know, there are various reports that look at performance. You know, Good Governance Africa brought out a report recently about the performance and the place where I live in, Drakensberg Municipality, has been rated the number one secondary city. And so there are what I focus on are those individuals in institutions that, especially administrators, who are making it happen. And I can share some of the thoughts from them. I think it's a professional approach. It's about staying in your lane. I've spoken to the Winibadikizela Mandela Municipality. M.M. Levuyo is there in charge, Levuyo Mashlaka, who's a competent, able public servant who runs a tight ship and who gets the job done. You know, and so there are many examples. I know that the stories of local government often is a very negative narrative, but there are still some officials in municipalities that are making it happen with under very trying circumstances. They do follow a professional approach. They stay in the lane. They manage to say no to politicians. They make sure that there's performance management and that managers actually manage is what I have found.
Thank you very much. I think those are very interesting observations, which have the potential to be scaled up, I would imagine. Dr. Kluger, thank you very much for coming through. It has been absolutely beautiful to hear from you. Hopefully you and I will come back, for we address a very complex and complicated issues in relation to how we institutionalize the performance professionalization framework, which has been introduced by government. For we all know it is important that we have competent and capable state. If a competent and competent state, we are like to draw there some of the issues which are bedeviling pretty much the entire public sector, whether it's government department, SOEs, or even municipalities. I suppose in our next encounter, one of the issues that we need to really think about, I'll take heed from you here, it's all issue of public participation and how public participation is shaping or is holding the system to account. Thank you very much for coming through. It's been absolutely beautiful.
Thank you so much for having me on your platform. Yes, I think there's still such a lot that we can talk about. But thank you for having me. Looking forward to our next conversation.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, sir. That was Professor Hallam Kluter, who is the research fellow at the University of the Free State, giving us his thoughts and views about his personal observation and experiences and how the old saga of professionalization of the public sector, particularly in relation to municipalities, is going about. We've picked up a number of very interesting points, which we all concluded that we need more time to get to understand these issues better. And some of these issues, we hope the next administration, because we part of this platform is to share insights based on the views, professional views shared, such as by Dr. Kluter here, so that they begin to shape not only the thinking and application of our public spaces. Unfortunately, we're going to have to leave it. It's been absolutely beautiful. Enjoy your day further. Shalom.